Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. We are familiar with the Bible. It's divided into the Old Testament and New Testament. Within the Old Testament are the Law, writings, and prophets. And within the New Testament are the Gospels, Acts, Paul's letters, the letters written by other apostles, and Revelation. The books are typically presented in the same order, though some versions present the books chronologically. For instance, even though 1 Thessalonians and James appear later in the New Testament, these are thought to have been written first, with some giving James the nod and others 1 Thessalonians. Reading the Bible, especially if you read the same translation of the Bible and are familiar with passages, we expect to find certain words and phrases. In the Old Testament, when we read about David, we know eventually we will come across people like Samuel, Saul, Jonathan, and Bathsheba. When we read the Gospels, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is always present. A reading of Acts, depending upon where we are in the book, will give us an early account of the church in Jerusalem and the conversion and ministry of the Apostle Paul. And the book of Revelation is mostly about prophecy, with imagery that seems almost too hard to comprehend. When we read the Bible, we are reading texts that over time we are familiar with. And we have come to expect that the words of the Bible do not change. It would be a different experience if the next time, when reading the passage about Jesus feeding the 5,000, we found recipes for barley loaves and something like an olive oil balsamic vinegar glaze for the fish. It would be a different experience for me, and it would be very alarming. I think it would make for an interesting meal to prepare a meal for one's home based on a biblical event, but it would be completely wrong to insert anyone's thoughts into the Bible as if it was part of the original text. But people are more open to this concept than we might realize. More frequently, we see various translations of the Bible because the Old Testament was written in the Hebrew and the New Testament was written in Greek. In English, when we read John 3, verse 16, we read something like, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The original Greek, if translated word for word for that verse, would read something like, "For so loved God the world, that his Son, the only begotten, he gave, that everyone who is believing on him may not perish, but may life unto the age." Making languages unique are how the different parts of speech work. In Spanish, the adjective follows the noun. Near El Paso, where I live, is a town in Texas called Sierra Blanca, and nearby in southern New Mexico, there is a mountain with that name. Translated word for word into English, it would mean mountain white. In English, the adjective comes before the noun, so in English, we would commonly think of Sierra Blanca as White Mountain. How different parts of speech are put together to form sentences is called syntax, and syntax varies from language to language. To make sense in a language, syntax follows an expected order. When we read a translation of the Bible beyond the translation from Hebrew or Greek to English, we are also reading changes in the positions of words to fit the syntax. All of this needs to happen without changing the meaning of the original language. When we read a different translation of the Bible, we might notice a different word is used to convey the same meaning. But in a different authentic translation of the Bible, we will find no new events added to the Bible. We are familiar with the idea that there are different Bible translations. But have you ever heard of the idea that there is a need for a third testament? We have the Old Testament and New Testament, and recently a preacher suggested there is a need for a third testament, because in the view of this preacher, the words in both testaments are problematic and are more words about God rather than being the literal word of God. This preacher focused on biblical passages about slavery and the role of women in the church. Today, we will look at the Bible as the Word of God. And we will begin our study by looking at the verse pointing to the earliest point in what we would call history, where in the beginning was the Word who was with God and who was God. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Later, in the same chapter, John shows that the Word who was with God and was God also became flesh and dwelt among the people of John's time in the personage of Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. From the first chapter of John, we see that in the beginning was the Word who later would become Jesus Christ, who was with God and was God. From the Bible, we can read that both Jesus Christ and God do not change. For instance, when Malachi prophesies about the Messiah and end-time judgment, God declares that He does not change. Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. In the book of Hebrews, we read something similar about Jesus Christ, who is described as being the same yesterday, today, and forever, all when being warned about not believing diverse and strange doctrines. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. From the Bible, we know God and Jesus Christ do not change, and we can take comfort in knowing that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But what inspiration of God means is something we need to know, because inspiration of God can cause debate. We look at inspiration of God knowing God is holy, and the inspiration of God is also holy, while others know God is holy, but consider inspiration of God as being subject to human nature, because in their mind, people are inspired to write Scripture. So these type of people might not look at Scripture as holy of and by itself. Let's read 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers so wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Years ago, when I was still in high school, my family was dining in a health food style restaurant with an elderly Hispanic man from our church. The menu was filled with many different types of entrees with some fancy names, and there was one food item he recognized by name, a tostado. So with all of the many choices, he ordered that because, being Hispanic from El Paso, where we have great Mexican cuisine, he wanted something he was familiar with. What he was familiar with and what the waiter presented to him were vastly different. The tostada did have a tostada, but came with a variety of Japanese beans blended to make the refry beans, and topping it off with something that looked like a Mount Everest of alfalfa sprouts. Until he made it down to the tostada shell, he didn't recognize the meal. When he was asked how he was enjoying the meal, he replied that he hadn't yet found the meal. That's how much the alfalfa sprouts were piled atop the tostada. I suppose there is room for debate if this was a traditional tostada or if this meal was inspired by a tostada. What does "given by inspiration of God" in the passage we just read mean? What is most important to know is that in the Greek, the entire phrase is one word, and it means divinely breathed in. The words of the Bible as inspired by God are divinely breathed in. That's a much deeper and stronger standard than inspired by. The tostada in that health food restaurant was inspired by a traditional tostada, but many would pass on calling it a tostada in their traditional sense. When all scripture is given by inspiration of God, it is as if God has brought the words of the Bible to life as a direct extension of God. Through faith, we either believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, meaning that God has divinely breathed in all words of the Bible, or we do not. Translations can and sometimes do get words wrong, but what was given by inspiration of God was given by God divinely breathing in. If God owned that restaurant and inspired a traditional tostada on the menu, that is what would be served, not one made in part with Japanese beans and piled high with alfalfa sprouts that is almost unrecognizable. Prophecy works the same way. The prophets of God did not write whatever they wanted to write because they had a publishing deadline to meet and needed content. Their prophecies did not originate with them, but were inspired by the Holy Spirit. From the Bible, we also learn that there is no private interpretation of biblical prophecy. What you or I think of a biblical prophecy is not important when compared to what God intends by the prophecy. What God intends by the prophecy is important. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In the final hours of his human life, Jesus made it clear that the Word of God is truth. Jesus Christ, who was the Word, who was God, and who was with God, was truthful and spoke truth. He asked that the followers be sanctified through truth, the Word of God. The Word of God was personified through the person of Jesus and is documented for us throughout the Bible. Jesus sanctified himself so that through truth we could be also sanctified. John 17, verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Seeing that the Bible, with all Scripture being divinely breathed in by God, and that the Word of God is truth, we might conclude that people could look at the Bible without any negative consequences. And yet Peter shows one can incorrectly interpret the Bible and bring destruction to themselves. 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other Scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter shows that there are concepts in the Bible that can be hard to understand. Those hard to understand concepts can be challenging for those who really don't know the Bible or who are not grounded in faith. Because they either don't know the Bible or are not grounded in the faith, they can twist and turn what is intended by the Scriptures. To avoid that, we need to be people of faith. What I said is we need to be people of faith, not people of the faith. Somebody could claim to be a person of the faith, but not really be a person of faith. There is a difference. We also need to be knowledgeable about what is in the Bible. And that means we need to extend our understanding of what is in the Bible beyond sermons, meaning personal Bible study is important. Meditation on God's Word is also important. We need to understand what is in the Bible and think about it. If we don't know what is in the Bible, it is easier to be led astray by those who want to deceive. Beyond understanding and thinking about what is in the Bible, we need to do what is in the Bible. Paul told the Thessalonians that when they heard the Word of God through the preaching of Paul and his entourage, they didn't consider what they were hearing as the words of only men. They recognized that Paul was like a messenger of God who conveyed the truth of God. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins away, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. In the Psalms, we see that it was understood during that time that God's word was truth, and that God's word was truth from the beginning. Also shown is the eternal nature of God's judgments, showing that God is not situational in what is right or wrong based on the generation in which one finds themselves living. What was sin from the beginning is still sin today and will be sin in the future. What was righteous from the beginning is still righteous today and will be righteous in the future. Psalm 119, verse 153. Consider mine affliction, and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause, and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors, and I was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. In his first letter, John warns the false prophets who are in the world. He advises the reader to not believe everything that is purported to be spiritual in nature, but to try the spirits to see if they are of God, with a focus on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those who reject the gospel account of Jesus Christ are described as having the spirit of Antichrist. The faithful reader is also comforted being told that they have overcome the spirit of Antichrist by being followers of Jesus. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Paul warned the Galatians that they had moved to a false gospel that did not involve Jesus Christ. The Bible is clear that we are saved by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ with the requirement of repentance and baptism, what we can find in the writings of Paul and the other apostles. Paul declares a curse on those who preach another gospel. Galatians 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before you, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Jesus showed that most who heard him speak rejected what he said because they believed the lie and not the truth. Those who rejected truth and embraced the lie are aligned to Satan, who is the father of lies. John 8, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin, and I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words, ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Satan can and will convincingly lie about anything and everything, including Scripture. When Satan attempted to tempt Jesus after Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Satan tempted him with food. Satan knew Jesus could have changed stones to bread because he knew Jesus was the Son of God. He tried to manipulate human nature to get Jesus to sin. And Jesus replied, quoting Scripture, Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus told him, Men were to live by the word of God. So Satan gave him a snippet of the word of God. After taking Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple, Satan told him to jump off, because God would have angels protect him. Again, Jesus responded by quoting Scripture. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up unto the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Not being successful by twisting Scripture, Satan took Jesus to a high mountain and promised him rulership over all nations if Jesus would only worship him. Again, Jesus quoted Scripture. Being denied three times, Satan left Jesus. Verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. From Satan's attempt to tempt Jesus, we know Satan does know Scripture, but twists and turns them to get an unholy result. We know that Satan tried to tempt Jesus through a weakness of the human condition, hunger, and through an offer of power and control. He also tempted Jesus by twisting Scripture. All were subtle jabs at faith. How Satan tried to tempt Jesus was not much different than how Satan deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. He told Jesus if he jumped off the top of the temple, he would not die. And he told Eve that if she ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she would not die. Now, Adam and Eve didn't die right then and there, but they did die. And since that time, while we know what is good by contrasting it to what is evil, we are all subject to human death. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The idea that a lie could separate one from the truth might seem far-fetched, but Jesus warned that in the end time, the faithful would need to make sure that they were not deceived. Many would have a message about Jesus as the Messiah, and these many would deceive many others, all in a time that seems to be a description of the time we live in today. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Later, in the same chapter of Matthew, Jesus showed that when he returns, it is essential we be found so doing. In other words, doing what Jesus taught. He also showed that when he returns, if he finds people using the faith to exploit others while giving themselves a free pass on sin, it won't be good for those people who exploit. Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What are those things we need to be so doing? We need to be doing what is taught in the Bible, knowing forgiveness of sin comes through Jesus Christ. We cannot worship the beast in his image, nor can we receive the mark of the beast in our forehead or hand, because that will lead to being on the receiving end of the wrath of God. Those who are faithful, the saints, are described as those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up for ever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. The commandments of God are easily found in the Old Testament, and the faith of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. As the faithful, we need to be keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. There is no mention of a third testament, and no matter how much somebody thinks it is needed, evidently it is not needed to be a saint immediately before the return of Jesus Christ, when the beast and false prophet are finally on the receiving end of the wrath of God. Ultimately, these are punished by angels of God in the lake of fire. Revelation 19, verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. And ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. We believe that the Bible is the written word of God and was directly inspired by God, as if God breathed and spoke every single written word. God's word is truth, and truth does not change. What was sin in the beginning is sin today and will be sin in the future. What was righteous in the beginning is righteous today and will be righteous in the future. We will study the Bible. We will know what is in the Bible. We will meditate on what is in the Bible. We will do what is expected of us. We will not add to or take away from what is in the Bible. Going back thousands of years ago, God warned Israel to not add to what God commanded them to do, nor were they to do away with anything they were commanded. God expected them to do exactly what they were commanded to do. Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. In Proverbs, we are advised to not add to the words of God, because God could show us to be nothing more than a liar. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. The final few verses of the book of Revelation also contain a warning not to add to or take away from the prophecies of Revelation. Those who add to the prophecies of Revelation will suffer the plagues of the book, and those who take away the prophecies will not be given eternal life. Revelation 22, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The Bible is the Word of God. It is the written Word of God and was directly inspired by God, as if God was breathing and speaking the words we read. Jesus, who was the Word of God, spoke truth to a world that could not comprehend truth, and the truth of the written word of God can also be hard for this world to comprehend. Truth, righteousness, and sin do not change. What was truth, righteousness, or sin in the beginning is still truth, righteousness, or sin, and in the future, what today is truth, righteousness, or sin will continue to be truth, righteousness, or sin. The saints of Revelation are described as keeping the commandments of God which are found in the Old Testament and as keeping the faith of Jesus which is found in the New Testament. Knowing this, we do not see the New and Old Testaments as problematic. We do not see a need for a third testament. We remain focused on keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.